So we celebrate today this great feast of the baptism of the Lord, this ending of the Christmas season, and we begin ordinary time, this moment when we recognize the public ministry of Jesus. He's been living this hidden life for the past 30 years, and now he's ready. This amazing episode, this scene where this man goes into the waters and he comes out, and then the dove and the voice from the heavens. This changes everything for the people of God. We hear that the heavens opened. That's important because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, the heavens closed. And so now with Christ and his baptism, the heavens are opened. And this has eternal consequences for you and for me. Because now we get to go to heaven. We have now access to the Father that we did not have before. So as we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, we must reflect upon our own baptism. Like Jesus didn't need to be baptized the way that we need to be baptized. He chose to be. We can say part of the reason why is because by his baptism, he sanctified the waters. He made those waters holy. So the reason that we can be baptized now, the reason why the water works for us now is because Christ sanctified those waters. Also in ancient times, before the new king was anointed king, he would go down to the water and be washed to be cleansed. And so here is Christ the King going down to the waters to be washed, to be cleansed. And we know he was made man like us in all things except sin. He took on the human condition. And so even the fact that we need to be baptized, he went to that point with us. And those beautiful words of God the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This episode, this scene of Christ's life, is traditionally celebrated with the Epiphany, along with the wedding feast at Cana. These public manifestations of who Jesus is. So we had the shepherds and the angels at Christmas, and the star and the magi. But today we have the voice of the Father, leaving no doubt about who this man is, preparing him, setting him on the stage for his public ministry. And we know what happened after this. The Spirit then led him into the desert for 40 days to be tempted, to be tried, to be tested. And he came out victorious and began this battle against Satan, calling the dead to life, casting out the demons through the exorcisms, restoring the natural order of wholeness and health to those who were lost and sick. This is what Christ did. And this is the life that each one of you who have been baptized have been invited into. And you've accepted the invitation. So the charge of Christ is the charge of each one of us. We must go to battle with Satan. It's the purpose of our baptism, to restore the lost order, the order that was lost in the garden. Adam and Eve were made and created in perfect communion with the Father. They were in communion with one another and with him. They walked, they spoke to him face to face. They were with him. And as soon as they ate the forbidden fruit, there was separation. They lost sanctifying grace. The very life of God that was given to them was lost. And they were separated. That's the death that they experienced. And that's the death that was passed on to each one of us. And it's the death that we live in until the moment of our baptism. This sacrament of baptism, these sacraments we remember from catechism, these outward signs instituted by Christ that give grace. Not just mere symbols or mere rituals, but they're efficacious signs. They effect. They make happen what's taking place. So when the priest or the deacon pours water and says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what St. Peter tells us in his letter is that baptism now saves you. Not as a mere washing of the body, but a cleansing of your conscience. The reality of baptism, that we're stuck in that life of original sin without. And Mother Church would teach us that she knows no other means of salvation other than baptism. But we also know, as Mother Church teaches us, that God's not bound by the sacraments. So is it possible for someone who's not baptized, for someone who has never been exposed to the saving message of Jesus to be saved? Yes, it's possible. But she knows no other means than baptism for salvation. It's necessary. And with our baptism, what happens? We already said original sin is wiped away. But in its place comes grace, sanctifying grace. The very life force, the power of God dwells within us. We become a temple. A temple is those places where gods dwell. We are the temple. God dwells. God lives. He remains within us if we're in this state of grace. And with that, we are infused with the virtues of faith, of hope, and of charity. These theological virtues, these attributes that make us like God, God gives them to us. And we are rightfully called, what St. John says, so indeed we are children of God. So these words of the Father over Jesus are rightfully said over each one of us at our baptism. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Do we live in this reality? Do we live as though our life has been radically changed? The most important day of your life was the day that you were baptized. Nothing can compare with it. Nothing ever will until the day you die and in a state of grace. And he says, with you I'm well pleased, enter into the kingdom. But like an injection of a superpower, the very life of God was given to you. Why? To restore the order that was lost. Babies and grown-ups, when they are baptized, they get anointed with the sacred chrism oil. That sweet-smelling oil that the bishop blesses. And we say a prayer that as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so are you. Do you know that? When you look into the mirror, when you lay your head down at night and you think about who you are and what your life is all about, do you recognize the fact that you are a priest, a prophet, and a king? How much better would the world, would the church be if we recognize the reality of who we are, who we have become? Because action follows being. And if we don't know who we are, then we don't know how to act. Think of all the stupid things we hear about in the news from our politicians and from the church, for people being stupid, sinful, criminal, because they don't know who they are. How much misery would we miss out on if we truly lived as beloved sons and daughters of the Father? How much heartache, how much pain would be just dismissed if we truly believed in the promises of our baptism, that we've been set free, that we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God looks at us with delight. What does a priest do? So you see me, you see Father Matthew, these other priests. What do we do? I mean, lots of things. But we offer sacrifice. The sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ, the Son of Himself to the Father, takes place every time we celebrate Mass. That's the sacrifice that the priest offers. And we intercede primarily for each one of you, the souls who are entrusted to the care of the pastor. My life is one of sacrifice and of intercession. So should yours. For whom are you sacrificing? And for whom are you interceding? Spouses, are you on your knees daily, begging the Holy Spirit to reanoint, to empower your spouse to live out their baptismal and their vocational call? Are you begging for the protection of your children, of our leaders of the government and the church? Children, are we praying for our parents, no matter how old we are or they are? Do we pray, sacrifice, intercede for those who are most need? This is the power that you have. The power that I have as a priest to confect the Holy Eucharist is an image for each one of you of the power that you have to effect change in the lives through your prayer, through your fasting, through your sacrifice. And you're a king. What does that mean? You rule over a monarchy, firstly of yourself, and for you men who are married, over your families. And a good king runs a well-ordered kingdom. So are you living a well-ordered life? Have you taken the time to learn the truth that Mother Church teaches, whether it feels good or not? And then do you choose the truth, choose the good, choose the beautiful every time? Do we learn and practice the virtues? Do we teach our children to do so? Is our life well ordered? And if we're the head of the family, is our family well ordered? Have we taken up the responsibility, the duty that you have to lead your family to heaven? Have you responded to the call of holiness? Are you serious about getting your family to heaven? Are you a good king for your family? And you're a prophet. What did the prophets do? What do the prophets do? They speak for Jesus, the truth. They don't just tell the future what might happen. They speak the words of truth every time. Think about the conversations you've had just today, yesterday, last week. Think about the emails you exchanged, your social media postings. Think about the television shows and the music. Are you a parrot of the nonsense of the world? Are you a prophet of Jesus Christ? How many people are dying because they're enslaved to sin and have never heard the saving message of Jesus Christ? The only way out of sin is Jesus. Have you taken up the duty that you have to be a prophet to the world? Have you taken on this responsibility, your identity as a son and daughter of the Heavenly Father who has set you free by His death and resurrection and given you His very life to walk in the newness of life? Are you serious about this? This is what we're celebrating today. The charge, the duty, the greatness that you are by being a son and daughter of the King. You're a member of His royal army. And as Jesus went to battle with the devil, so do we. The world needs your witness. The world is dying for a lack of a solid, faithful witness to the saving message of Jesus Christ, of a well-ordered life, of a person who is willing to make sacrifices for the good of the other. This is our challenge. This is our opportunity. October 4th, 1975 was the best day of my life. It's the day that I was baptized, when the Father looked at me and said, "This is my beloved Son. I hope that when I die, I hear those words again. This is my beloved Son, in whom I well pleased. Amen.